I think a good way to open this is I'm going to say, okay, ladies, let's regurgitate 2024. You know what I'm saying? Let's just expel it all out. Let's just clean our systems. Ooh,
and my 2024 was rough.
Cleanse. This is sort of a master cleanse of podcasting.
I'm so ready to put 2024 to bed. I really am.
This is Loveless Fridays. Normally, we dig into the stories and themes from Loveless Fear, but today, Michelle and I and Haley are switching things up. We're going behind the scenes to share some personal stories and reflect on the year as a whole. Due to the late stage of recording of this episode, there will be very few edits being made, so we do apologize in advance for any ums, ahs, tangents that we take along this road, which we do off camera anyway. So hopefully you enjoy some of our diatribe and anything that we have to share just off stream of consciousness, because you're going to get that on this year and wrap up.
Well, 2024 can really be closed. I'm so done with it. It was a year for me of two knee replacements, a divorce, and everything else that's gone on in my life. So I'm done with it. And at the end of the day, one of the good things about 2024 that I'm glad is going into 2025 is you. Despite some frustrations I have with you, like, you know, your ability to get it all right all the time, and then my audio always sucks and we lose recordings because of me. But other than that, I can't wait for 2025.
Well, you frustrate me too. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why you frustrate me is because oftentimes you don't understand the full capacity of your power. And as much as I love self-denigration and sort of putting yourself in a position where you don't take yourself too seriously, I think you need to take yourself more seriously in many ways. Wouldn't you agree, Haley?
I think that you should see how special you are and how strong you are and what... Look at her.
Keep going, Haley. Keep going. No, we talked about this. This is our 2024. We're going to regurgitate 2024 and get it all out of our system. This is a master cleanse for 2025. So keep rolling, Haley. This is tough love, Michelle. It's your medicine. It's your medicine from two unqualified non-MDs.
I can't. Can I just turn off my headphones? I don't have to listen to it because I really, I'm so uncomfortable. Like, talk, like, compliment me behind my back, just not to my face. We're good.
Michelle, you're a superstar. Trust me on this. I can guarantee you this. And I'll say this on and we can keep this bit in. You are going to bring a powerful voice to the world of podcasting in 2025. You are someone, and Haley and I have talked about this off grid because you don't like to be praised to your face. You like to be insulted to your face, but you like to be praised behind your back. That's just the way we've figured it out. So you can deal with hostility. You can deal with conflict to your face. It actually invigorates you, but you crumble at the sight of any compliment. And we've realized that. So we're trying to temper them. You know, what's very interesting is the parallel between what you do professionally and how that applies to someone who's dealing with a relationship or a marriage that is crumbling. So have you ever had the behavior that you use in the court for cross-examination applied to your significant others?
You know, it's a great question that you asked with regards to that, Jake, for a couple of reasons. Do I use it in my personal life? Absolutely. Did I use it in my relationship? Absolutely. And did my ex-husband use it on me? Absolutely. I can give you the best examples because I use it in parenting all the time. And the biggest trick to cross-examination is not the, everyone thinks it's just ask yes or no questions and your only responses from the witness should be yes or no. And I'm going to tell you, if you're doing your cross-examinations like that, you are missing a whole treasure trove of information. Because sometimes what you want to do when you know what the facts are and you know what the evidence you have is you want to set them up to lie. Yeah. Or tell the truth. If they tell the truth, then it's a great thing. But if they lie, like you probably expect them to, like I know my kids did about homework, then you have the evidence. And you let them, there's one or two strategies to do it. I usually let them dig their hole deeper, but I refer to it as I'm just teeing them up for, you know, a hole in one,
yeah,
so to speak. And so you let them either dig that lie deeper by asking more open-ended questions, or you just call them on it immediately. I think it's much more effective when you just let them dig that hole, because as soon as you come back with, oh, hey, here, you watch their face drop and you use their own words against them. And mm-hmm. It's something they can't recover from. But if you're doing that in a relationship, kids are a little bit of the exception because your job is to parent them, not be your friends. But if you're doing that right in your romantic relationships, probably not the healthiest of relationships.
Well, you have the ability to do that. And I think that's really fascinating. Do you do that with business partnerships? Like that even, you know, begs the question, is that something that's going to come up? Have you ever cross-examined me?
Not yet. And trust me, when I do, you will know it and you'll be like, oh, holy shit.
I dread that day, to be fair.
One of my partners, when I first joined the firm, he had pop quizzes. Mm-hmm. And he would come in and ask associates pop quizzes. And I was just dreading his pop quizzes because his pop quizzes were always designed to point out something you had done wrong. Right.
Oh, wow.
And you could see the truck coming, but you didn't know which way the truck was going to go. And I always, every time he walked in my office, asked me a question. I was like, oh God, is this a pop quiz? Fortunately for me, I was at a point in my career that it was not pop quizzes for me. But it was, I could see it coming. Like I could hear it on phone calls when we would talk to an associate. I'm like, oh dear God, they don't know it's coming. My business partners, I don't. And because there's really not a need, because if you're business partners with someone, there's a built-in level of trust that you have to have, because a business partnership is like a marriage. I mean, it really is. Yeah. And so how you and I met was, you know, I think I've talked about on all of our other episodes of Love Lust Friday, I've talked about my trials and tribulations this year. And to say it's been a lot in 2024 would be a huge understatement. But you and I met when I decided, after I moved out of my house with my husband and divorce proceedings, I decided to pursue a passion dream of mine, which was to kind of get myself out there in the media world, because I think I can help more people out in this arena than I can one-on-one in a courtroom with clients. And you were one of the first on Strictly Stalking, or one of the first people that reached out to me to say, hey, we'd love to have you as a guest. And our first recording of Strictly Stalking was on my birthday, March 15th. And so I always joke, Sue Sayer said, beware the Ides of March. Mm-hmm. And I took that as a sign that it was something that was meant to be. And for whatever reason, like you and I had talked once before on the pre-call, and that was almost a two-hour call. We had gotten along so well. I think our recording of Strictly Stalking could have gone on for 8 hours. I mean, it was just, we connected so well. And, you know, I had my knee replacement shortly after we recorded that, my first knee replacement. And you and I kind of kept in touch and we kept talking. And every time we talked, it was like 2 hours every single time. And it didn't even seem like 2 hours. And so this just kind of came to be a natural progression of yours and I's conversations. And I got to tell you, out of blessings I have for 2024, other than surviving the year, you are a big part of it.
Well, I so appreciate that. And it's amazing to hear how you put it, basically ending, there's no hostage situation. Nobody's being held captive. There's nobody being coerced.
Well, we'll see if that changes for next year.
Apparently so. Yeah, we'll see. 2025 may bring some surprises.
Right. You never know.
What you brought to my life is there was a certain sensibility that I had. I've never fortunately faced a judge in court, and I hope not to moving forward. But I have faced lawyers, and I must say is that you have really proven to me how compassionate, caring, kind, and genuine that someone in your profession can be, and ultimately how much you connect with people and how much they really are just honored by connecting with you, and that they feel heard and seen by you. I've been, you know, working with survivors through Strictly Stalking and then now Loveless Fear. And Loveless Fridays was basically started as a way, sort of as a deeper dive into getting to know the personalities behind Loveless Fear. And Michelle just took the baton and sort of ran with it. I'm excited to kind of bask in her expertise and her glory. But I think as a duo, I think we bring so much to the table. I think that being able to move forward and doing things that will allow us to expand and be able to grow and embrace the podcasting community and also all the people listening, there's a special place for that. I think, Michelle, you offer something that a lot of people don't have. Somebody who's working with families, trying to deal with custody, deal with divorce proceedings, and even you, how vulnerable you've been throughout this whole process is inspiring. I mean, I'm inspired by you constantly. I'm not quite bowing, but I'm definitely throwing my hands up praising. You know what I'm saying? I'm not quite there yet.
So Jake, while we're talking about relationships and how we met, how did you meet Haley?
Haley Gray is someone who is the real deal. doing amazing things in the podcasting space for over 8 years at this point. And I want to mention this to anyone listening, anyone even thinking remotely about getting into true crime podcasting and wanting to do it in an ethical and moral way, reach out to Haley Gray. She is someone who understands not only the dynamics of podcasting, but how to work with survivors, how to work with victims' families, and do it in a way that is authentic and kind and caring and compassionate and is exactly what you need to do a proper true crime podcast.
Well, now it's my turn to say no more compliments. But
it's true. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This is a painful year-end wrap up.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. It's been really great getting to know you both more, and I can't wait for what's to come in 2025. Hint, hint.
What are some of the lessons from 2024 that you're carrying with you into 2025?
There's several lessons. Like, for example, stop saying I'm sorry all the time. Mm-hmm. Another one would be taking away boundaries are important. And another takeaway really is self-care. You know, I've done some speeches on self-care recently. It's one of my platforms, because if you don't take care of yourself, no one else will. And self-care is a non-negotiable. It is not, you know, manicures and pedicures or massages. It's colonoscopies. It's mammograms. It's your basic health care that I know people like in your position, in my position, really put it as a back seat as opposed to a priority. And we've got to change the mindset to where it's a priority. And that is something that I'm absolutely taking into 2025 with me.
I want to know a little bit about Haley. Michelle, you and I have been monopolizing all the time, all the glory. As shy and bashful as you are, you certainly aren't on the mic. When it comes to airtime, Michelle will fight for airtime. She won't fight for compliments, but she'll fight for airtime, whether it's on San Antonio local news, whether it's a upcoming TED Talk opportunities, which I'm excited about, those kind of things. What I really want to know is, Ms. Haley Gray, what are your goals for 2025 and what were your misses in 2024?
Great question. So in 2025, I have professional and personal goals. In fact, on New Year's Eve, I plan on making a vision board for myself. I've never done that before, but it sounds fun. But on that vision board, professionally, I want to keep working on being a better advocate. I've already kind of made a list of things that I think I can improve on. I'm the kind of person that's constantly self-reflecting, like, how can I improve that? You know, how can I get better? How can I communicate better with people? How can I handle that situation better? You know, just always trying to better myself. But that's the number one goal professionally. I also want to do more speaking engagements, just because of the advocacy. And I've kind of, I feel, emerged as a kind of person that people look to ask questions about advocacy. And I feel very thankful for that position. And I've learned a lot, and I would really like to help just spread awareness of the things that I've learned. And then I have a training program, and one of the things that we're doing is releasing a program for families who have lost a loved one to murder or if they're missing. And I'm super excited about that because my favorite thing in the world is to help families. And then just personally, I want to be more active. I have a very sedentary lifestyle, just working from a chair all the time. So just being more active and taking my health more seriously, like Michelle said. Now that I'm in my 30s, I feel that youth is no longer on my side, so I need to.
Oh, you were talking to the wrong crowd here, Haley. Oh my God. I can't believe you, this Pandora's box you just opened up. Holy shit. Now that I'm in my 30s, holy shit.
Well, I would like to turn the tables and be the one to ask some questions, if that's okay with both of you.
Jesus.
Well, we got some questions from some listeners, and I want to ask you, what is something from your past toxic relationships that still affects you?
I don't think there's one thing that doesn't still impact me from past toxic relationships. I think you carry sort of the residual trauma or residual pain or possibly residual lessons from these things. I think that for me, one of the problems that I have is kind of being a doormat for love, if that makes sense, where I can be very strong, aggressive when it comes to protecting myself on a business front. But when it comes to love, it is a vulnerability for me. And I think that that's one of the biggest problems that I've had is being with partners, not all partners, but just some of the toxic situations where I've been way too accommodating with my time, my money, and as you can probably both understand, free therapy, basically being someone who's compassionate, understanding, listening, something that I do professionally, but also carrying it over to my personal life. So one of those problems is that I become way too accommodating and kind of losing myself in the process, making them much higher priority than myself. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's because was born this way. I don't know if it's conditioned this way. I don't know. But you would think that by now that I would have this lesson down pat, but I still don't. You know, it's still something that I always carry with me, and understanding that if you're not matched with the right partner and you're like a sponge, you're just going to absorb everything. You know what I'm saying? You're just not going to be in a position where you're getting some sort of equal balance. Do you know, I have three rules for dating that I've never shared before. I know my love language, right? I know the compatibility factors, and I've had scenarios where I thought, okay, I'm not going to have these things abused, but they've been abused in different shades, right? They're like subliminally abused. You know what I'm saying? Like tugging on my heartstrings in order to facilitate someone's needs or someone's desires over my own health or my own happiness or my own security, right? Three things I have, three rules. Don't tell me what to do with my time. Don't tell me what to do with my money. And don't tell me who to associate with. So from that standpoint, you think about it. What is time? Time isn't just, I need you to do this or I need you to be there. It's kind of breaking dates. It's rescheduling dates. It's constantly making you prepared for something. There's always going to be things that come up, right? But if you do it habitually, you're not respecting my time. Money. First part is, tell me what to buy, tell me what to spend. But then there's also loaning money. There's also conditions that allow that, but taking advantage of those scenarios, right? And then who to associate with. I don't like that person. Why? I just don't like them. So you don't need to talk to them. You don't need to associate with them. Obviously, if it's someone who did something damaging or offensive to the person I'm with, they're out of my life. That's not going to be an issue. But if it's not, and if it's just based on wanting to control who you associate with and wanting to draw your circle tighter, what does that become? That becomes isolation, right? In those conditions. And when people use the emotional heartstrings and they know they found somebody who can be that vulnerable, they will 100% take advantage of you. Think about what those mean to you. What are those rules? What are the things that you need to protect yourself on? And those are the hardest things because I don't know, for some reason, I become putty with love. I become, as I said before, a doormat for love. That's how Loveless Fear started. Okay. Loveless Fear's original title was Let's Stay Single. It was about my journey staying single after a toxic relationship and how I needed to learn why I was susceptible to all the things that I heard from all these survivors, all these red flags. How did I still fall for these things? And so I'm learning, but it's an ongoing journey. Haley, what are your three rules? Wait, you're in a committed relationship. We know this about you. It's all over the internet. What are your new rules professionally? What are some of the things you're excited about sort of breaking out of the mold of what Haley was known for in 2024 and now what Haley is going to be in 2025?
Oh my gosh, what a tough question. I'm a people pleaser, so it's really hard for me to set up rules or boundaries. I think in 2025, I'm going to try to be less available, if that makes sense. Not in a bad way, but I'm kind of the person where like, I'm always available to my clients. Like Christmas Day, you need something from me, I'm going to step away from my family and like help out and stuff like that. But that's not healthy because then I'm not really getting any sort of time off.
Can I ask you, what is the core in your mind of your people pleasing needs? Like, why do you feel you need to please people? What do you think is going to happen if you don't answer that email, answer that text, take that call?
So I actually know from years of therapy why I'm a people pleaser. Long story short, you may learn about this on an upcoming episode, but my father was a legitimate psychopath and he did really horrible things to I have a younger sister and my mom, and my therapist says that I recognized that if I didn't please my dad, that I would also be treated very horribly. And so people pleasing became, she says, it's one of my basic needs, like water and shelter. Basically, I did it to survive. And I think, so that's where it comes down to. But I also think that if I don't do anything to please somebody, that they're going to hate me. And that's a real big fear of mine. I don't know if you know about Enneagram, but I'm an Enneagram type 6. And that basically means that I think everyone hates me at all times and that I've upset people.
Can I tell you something that I've learned through my own people pleasing needs and then having to break out of that? Is that one of the things that really freed me up is I woke up one day and I realized that there are people out there that are going to hate me that have never met me, that have never even been born yet. And it was such a freedom and elation that I'm like, I don't need to please everyone and I can't please everyone. When you realize it's an impossibility, it was a breakthrough for me. And I didn't think like, yes, there's some people I can't please and can't do this for. To be fair, in my head, I said, fuck them. That's literally what I said. And it's not like I go out there aggressively trying to unplease people or trying to make people feel bad. Obviously, that's going to unravel my whole kindness, nice guy routine that Michelle baited for me. But that's the whole thing too, is like you get in that position and, you know, it's almost like if you tell someone no, feel that anxiety, feel that pain and get through it and you'll get through it and it'll be a lot easier. You'll get numb to those, somebody's upset, their feelings aren't my responsibility. You can take that for personal or professional. It works the same. It's worked for me really well. Okay. There's very few people in my life that I have to be accountable to, but the primary thing is that I've been in a position, and Michelle knows this, is, you know, I work a lot. I work a lot and I get a lot of energy and power and excitement off people. Working with people, talking with people, but I can't be there 24/7. I need the ability to recharge. I just did that during this holiday. So I think to you, that gift is to be in a position where you're praised, appreciated, but also your boundaries are being respected. I think going into that, and you're always going to have your boundaries pushed. And if your boundaries are pushed, it better align with what your needs are in that moment. You know, it can be money, it can be time, it can be a position on something. People have to invest in you and they have to invest in your growth and they have to invest in what you bring to the table. It's not just Haley the machine. It's Haley who is a living, breathing human being. Her boundaries may shift over time.
You know, Jake's answer on this was a great answer because I think he's correct that every part of a bad relationship stays with you. Mm-hmm. The question is, what sticks out most? And for me, it's the constant apologizing. Every argument had to end with, you're right, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, can we please move on? And you get to where you apologize without even thinking about it. And I actually did a blog post on my Instagram about this recently where it was like, things to say instead of saying, I'm sorry. And I think that is something that I'm absolutely taking into 2025 and taking from that relationship of what not to do. But that one stuck with me. That I'm sorry is going to be a hard one to break.
You know my three rules, basically.
I love your three rules. So I'm going to steal your rules and add on to them because I think those are very thoughtful, well thought out. And really, when you I heard you describe them, what I thought was, man, he's got some self-awareness. It's impressive. But really, the time is money thing is a big one for me. Is I'm not going to let anyone take my time that isn't providing value to my life. Because at least in what I do, time is absolutely money. And life is short and I don't want to waste it. I really like that. I also really like the part about you can't tell me who my friends are. That is a huge one, especially in toxic relationships, because what the person who's toxic will do, it can be man or woman, is they isolate you. And so one of the first ways they do that is by saying which friends they do or don't like and which friends you can and can't hang out with. And usually that list keeps growing as the more they isolate you. And so that is a huge one that I think everyone should have as a rule.
Okay, I have one more question for both of you. What are your icks when it comes to dating?
I think Michelle has to redefine this based on pre-marriage and post-marriage, because I think that her icks need to be recalibrated.
The ick factor. Haley, I love that you asked me that question, because for me, the whole dating is ick. Like, I don't, no thanks. I'm good. I'm just going to watch Jake from the sidelines, because that will be more entertaining. Because what I'm looking forward to is, you know, and Jake, we've talked about this because you were such a nice guy and you are generous and you're a good listener. I don't want you to change who you are to find like the right person, because when you find the right person that values all those things, it's just going to explode and be wonderful for you. And I got to tell you, some woman out there is extremely lucky to find someone that is like you.
That's so kind of you to say. Thank you so much. You know, we're talking.
And I said it, by the way, I said it without laughing.
You did. That's
good. But no, I really, joking aside, yeah. I really mean that. You are a kind person, and kindness is very much missing in our modern era.
You know, what's interesting about that question is that I have icks that I've encountered, and then I have ones I haven't encountered, but would be icks to me. So, well, the icks that I have encountered, which are icks to me, are racism and homophobia. What I haven't encountered, which is good, is like bad hygiene, things that would conditionally be, most of the women that I date have great hygiene, which I can say. I don't know if that has anything to do with me or whatnot, but I've been, you know, attracting women with good hygiene.
Well, I actually had a question for you based on that, because sure. I've got a couple of theories. I've got an eyebrow theory, and I've got a couple other theories that we'll get into at some point. But what do you do? Like, do you pay attention to like hands and finger or hands and feet? Like what they look like? Are they manicured? Not? I'm kind of curious your thoughts on that from a male perspective.
Honestly, that's not the number one thing I look at. And I think women who date men are going to get the short end of the stick of that, because most men don't take great care of their feet. Okay. Unfortunately. So yeah. And I don't wear open toe shoes generally, but I do.
Thank you.
Oh, but I will now.
You know, it's the first thing that I look at on a man. Like, I want to see what their hands look like and what their handshake is like. That is two like paramounts for me. If my handshake is firmer than theirs, no, thank you.
Well, I get.
But if their hands, it's not even manicured hands. I need to make this clear. It is, I don't want a man that's got perfectly manicured hands with a clear coat of nail polish on. I'm not talking about that. I want like manly hands. Like, cause I'm not delicate, right? Like, I'm not a delicate girl. As you can tell just from my voice alone. And I've got good size hands for a woman. Like, I'm not dainty, but I need a man that's going to have bigger hands than me that look like man hands and look like they've done some work, you know? Yeah, like, I don't know how to describe that, but yeah, hands are like one of the first things I look at. And I remember in my pre-marriage days that I would not go out on a date if I did not like the guy's hands.
That's a real thing. That's an absolute real thing. That's one of your pet peeves, and you should.
It sounds so silly, but it really is. And no. I know that my ex-husband told me forever, never, never that one of the reasons he wanted to date me to begin with is because my hands and feet were always done. And as a side note, my toes have never not had polish on them since fifth grade. And I won't say how long that is, except for when the doctors make me take it off for major surgeries, which has been a fair amount of time recently.
Wow. Haley, as we sort of dive into the next era of content of podcasting, we know that AI is not something you can avoid and something you, in your own way, have to embrace. I mean, we use it every day, whether it's completing an email or, you know, finding ways to enhance our graphics or content. So just curious, do you have any experience with AI and how do you think it could apply to us?
Yeah, I love ChatGPT. I think that it's a really great resource if you learn how to use it correctly. In my training course, we talk about how to use it ethically and how to use it, again, as a tool and a resource, not as like a one-stop shop for all your answers. But one thing that I think is really fun is you can actually upload, you know, transcripts of episodes and see, and you just ask ChatGPT, like, what's the deal with this person? Or what's, you know, what do you know about this person based on what you're seeing? And I actually did that for a Loveless Friday episode. And it told me all about both of you. It gave me its opinion on both of you.
I think
you're going to find it more terrifying when you see how real it is.
What have you done to us? Right? All right. Right? Let her rip.
All right. I'm going to start with Michelle. So Michelle, ChatGPT says that you are bold, confident, and candid with a dry sense of humor. Absolutely spot on so far.
Oh, that's dead on. That's dead on. Wow.
You're unfiltered, down to earth, and you often use playful sarcasm or blunt honesty, but it's clear that you care deeply about the topics that are discussed.
It is frighteningly accurate. And I am so glad that Haley did not ask it for my flaws or faults, because that would have been painful to listen to, because that list would have been extensively long. Like, Haley's was nice and short and sweet. Mm-hmm. Mine would have been like, I mean, an encyclopedia of wrongs.
That's uncanny. I know, isn't how it? Much it gets into the psychology of who Michelle is and how she projects. And that is dead on. That is absolutely dead on. Well, we may want to end now while we're ahead.
It says he's a jerk. It says he's a jerk and that he doesn't care about people.
Is there a term asshole used, or is that something that they?
Yeah. Yeah. It used a bunch of the expletives. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it do it that before, but.
Michelle must have loaded this up. Yeah.
Right.
It's locked GPT.
Okay. But for real, it says that you're thoughtful, personable, and conversational, all super accurate. It says that you're good at balancing humor with sincerity, and you often guide the discussion smoothly and you engage everyone. You add lighthearted commentary, but you also ask insightful questions to dive deeper into emotional or serious topics.
I gotta tell you, Jake, yours is even more accurate than mine, because you really are a kind soul. And that's exactly what GBT said you were. It said you were a kind soul. I mean, in more words than that, but when you reduce it down to that, that's exactly who you are.
Wow. Yeah, it pegged me like so accurately when I asked it.
Yeah, we want to hear this. What's going on?
Okay.
Here?
Let me see if I can find it real quick. So I actually asked it something a little bit different. I asked it based on the prompts I send you. What do you know about my personality? What are my strengths and what are my flaws? I'll just give you the highlights. It said that I am empathetic and compassionate, ethical and principled, highly focused on impact, detail-oriented and thoughtful, hardworking and committed, and creative and visionary. My strengths are empathy, commitment to ethical standards, resilience, advocacy, storytelling, focus on collaboration. And my flaws, this one hurt me.
Yeah, you didn't tell us our flaws. Did you have a flaws section for Michelle and I?
No. The number one is difficulty setting boundaries. Perfectionism, emotional weight. Oh, it's saying that because of what I do for a living, I could be drained. And it says that I overcommit to things. I felt it was really super accurate. And I asked it for like advice on how to like improve. And it's very helpful.
I gotta say is that I'm astounded by the clarity and perception of these tools that you're bringing to the table, Haley. And is there a way that if Michelle and I don't want to host a future show, we could just have AI do it for us? That's there, right? We can do that. Or if one of us, if we get into a disagreement, let's say, and we can't stand to face each other, which happens at least a couple times a week, is there a way to sort of dive in and say, hey, can we bring up this bold, confident personality, Michelle Locke, and just have her on autopilot? Is that possible?
Yeah. Absolutely. I've been AI this whole time. It works perfectly.
So we've come to the portion in the show where it's time for the big announcement.
I am super excited for this announcement. This has turned into a dream of mine that you are helping me accomplish.
What are we going to be working on in 2025?
In 2025, you and I are launching Love, Lust, Law. One of the reasons I think you and I decided to do this is I have the ability to explain the legal system in a way that doesn't sound like a lawyer. And I think knowledge is power, and people, if they knew more about the court system in a manner and means in which they understood it, wouldn't be so afraid to go exercise their needed rights in those systems. And so one of my platforms is really to educate the public about how the court system works, to make it more user-friendly for the general public, because that's what it's designed to be. And so this is an opportunity to do just exactly that. And I cannot wait for this journey. And I'm super excited that you're joining me on it.
It's going to be a whole new perspective on true crime, on the legal system, and how dating, relationships, romance are all impacted by the law. And ultimately, Michelle is going to bring so much to the table based on all her experience over 20 years within the courts, and be able to share some of the stories and some of the perspectives and how it can apply to you and what you may be going through. I also want to mention that Haley will be producing Love, Lust, Law, and will bring well over 8 years of professional expertise of her research, deep diving into true crime cases for so many of their podcasts. And so she's going to bring that power and that energy to the show and being able to help us with cases and anything that we want to cover, and anything from listeners who want us to cover and feature cases. They may be ones that you've never heard of before, or they may be ones that are grabbing the headlines at the moment.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I have always been so interested, and I think a lot of other true crime listeners and people in the community are interested in just the legalities of things. I was texting you guys over the weekend about I was doing a case that involved custody hearing because one woman left her state and went to a different state, took her kids and joined a cult. And then the husband had to like fight for custody of the kids. And like, that's really interesting. And this, the custody hearing is actually what publicized the cult and made people even know what was going on. So, you know, like, that's very interesting. How does that work? Your two different states. The woman had every right to join a cult, but what about the kids? And so I just think that's very interesting. And we have a whole bunch of other cases that I'm just like, tell me everything about the legality of all of this stuff. I'm just very excited on a personal level, and I think it's going to be really great. And also super excited just to hear Michelle has so many stories from the courtroom that I just know are going to come up, you know, and just kind of adding some levity to the conversation. And like Michelle said, being able to talk about law to a layperson, I think is so important. It's going to make it feel that much more accessible, like you said, because I see all of the, when I'm going through court documents, I'm like, I don't even know what this word means. Like, I have to look it up, you know? And just, so having somebody be able just to be like, this is what it really means, that's going to be really helpful.
Haley, you're exactly correct. The problem is lawyers are really good at using big fancy Latin terms or abbreviations that only lawyers within the system know what they actually mean, or only the courts mean. And that doesn't help the general public. The goal really should be for everyone to understand on just a basic level how things operate in a court and what those legal terms mean and what it means when you file X, Y, and Z in court and what it means when a judge says X, Y, or Z. It just needs to be explained to the general public on a very, and basic is the wrong word, but at a level that everyone understands that doesn't sound like you're a lawyer trying to sound smarter than everyone else.
There's going to be an incredible amount of takeaways, and we're all very excited about launching this in 2025. Here is our working tagline. Michelle has spent over 23 years in the court.
And Jake has spent the last 23 years avoiding it.
And I'm here to keep both of you in line.
We want to wish you all a wonderful, happy, healthy, and successful 2025.
And like Jake, I hope everyone has a wonderful... Oh, shit.
You can just say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
Happy 2025 to everyone.
Thank you for joining Michelle, Haley, and I on Love, Lust, Fridays, our year-end wrap-up. If you have a dating or relationship story to share, or want to participate in discussion here on Loveless Fridays, DM me on Instagram at lovelessfearpod or email me at lovelessfearpod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, sharing, and supporting. Links to guest social media and some content mentioned are in our show notes. If you know someone who's being abused by a partner, there is help available. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, the National Domestic Violence Hotline provides essential tools and support to help survivors of domestic violence so they can live their lives free of abuse. Call 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233 or text START to 88788.